I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
All right, so welcome to How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. I've got a great guest in here today, and we've actually got our first episode of the year. It's our first episode of the year, isn't it, Bill?
That it is.
It is good to see you, Bill. Merry 2019.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, cool. Christmas,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, before we crack on with today's show, though, I've got to remind you, please, to subscribe and drop us a comment. Let's do the iTunes app in this episode because, let's be honest, 80% of you listen via that app, so it'd be really good if you slap that subscribe button and also told a mate about it as well. More comments, more subscribers means that we get to the forefront of iTunes and we hit more ears and eyes. Right, so today's show, we are joined by an extremely funny man, Mr. Rob Orton. Am I saying your name right? Rob Orton, by the
That's
way.
That's right, yeah.
Right, Rob Orton, nice to have you on the show, mate.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, how was your journey over here?
It was all right, actually. I live in Leighton. Yeah.
The last time I saw our producer, Billy, was 2018. He was beardless, and I think in an attempt to kind of step up his beard game to be on the same level as you, he's grown facial hair today.
Yeah.
Beardless? Yeah. There was some beard. It was more stubble than beardless.
I don't think you can call. Would you? I mean, as a man that owns a beard, Rob, would you say that stubble would count as a beard out here? Or
I think so. I don't really know. How have you done it? Have you left it?
Just left it, yeah.
So yeah, I just really struggle with. I used to shave all the time, but then I did a. I'll segue into talking about my shows, shall I?
Yeah, man.
I did a show about hair called The Hair Show, and I just let it grow, and just left it, and I was like, right, okay. So I just leave it now. But I need to get on top of it again.
Really? I mean, I did see on the YouTube when I was doing some extra research about you, I have seen a hairless Rob Orton out here. Well, not fully hairless, just fully shaved.
Yep.
And now you've got this spectacular growth of a beard. Like, and I'm a man that struggles to really grow a proper beard. Like, right. I've got a little bit going on right now. And as a man, I'd love to hear more about the tall hair, obviously. So yep. I know you know a lot about hair. Let's talk about the beard growing experience for you.
Okay. Well, when I had the idea to do a show about hair, I thought, how can I fully commit to the hair experience? So I just thought, right, I'm not going to shave or get my hair cut until I've finished the show. So I started growing it in September 2016 and then finished in the spring of 2018. So it was kind of interesting, really. I didn't realise how much it would affect my mental health and things like that, because, you know, appearance shouldn't count for much, but it does. And, you know, people would just... I remember I was in a lift. This was when I had quite a lot of beard and long hair, and the lift doors open, and I was in there, and the lift doors, they opened, and then there was like a mother, it was on the tube, actually. I was on the tube, and the tube doors opened, and I was stood there, and she was like, oh, no, not this one, let's move down the carriage a bit to a little kid, and I was like, oh, man, I'm all right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But, brother, as a big black man in London, brother, I'm used to people crossing the road when I'm walking up to them at night.
Really? Time,
bro. Yeah, man, bruv. Prejudice out there, man.
There totally is.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, can't be blasé about it, but, you know, these things happen. But you know it's a clear difference between the Rob with no hair, no facial hair, and the Rob with big beard and big hair.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because I, you know, when I'm walking home, I'm kind of like, I hope I don't get accosted. But now I'm kind of looked upon as the accoster. Do you know what I mean? Whatever accoster means.
Man's gone from accosted to accoster.
Yeah.
So the hair show, let's talk about that then. So, like, as a comedian, you really have a very specific set of topics that you really like to go into, right? And I feel like they're very unique to you. So let's talk about how you addressed hair in the show.
Okay, well, hair was the sixth one. I started off, I did a show in 2012 all about the colour yellow, called The Yellow Show. And the reason I wanted to pick a specific subject every time was because I went up to the Edinburgh Fringe in 2009, and I was part of this thing called the Big Comedy Breakfast, and there was four of us doing 15 minutes each.
Yeah.
And the guy who asked me to do it was like, oh, just do your poems or whatever they are. And so I did that. But what I saw was that all these people were doing hour-long shows. And, you know, they had titles, but sometimes they'd have a title and then they'd go in and they'd just be talking about absolutely anything. So I thought, well, like, a couple of years later, I got the opportunity to do a hour-long show, and I thought, well, I could just go and do like a hodgepodge of all my favourite bits that I've got, or I could try and challenge myself to see if I could write a show on a specific theme. So I thought, I just bought a yellow coat, and every time I put it on, it made me feel just a bit more upbeat, really, and a bit more like, yeah, come on, you know, you've got a good bright coat, it's suitable for all weathers, and it made me feel better about myself. So I thought, well, if that yellow coat can do that, maybe if I wrote a whole show about the colour yellow, what could that do for my mood? So I put the word yellow in the middle of the spider diagram and then just expanded it, really. And I was like, okay, right, so we've got yellow car sponges, we've got, you know, yolk. I'm not saying, you know, this is it, yellow. And I was like, yellow. And then I thought, how can I make it more of an immersive experience for the audience? So I made like yellow vision glasses out of cardboard and got yellow acetate. So it's like, you know, like when you watch a 3D thing, but it was just all yellow. So all the audience were watching it through yellow tinted glasses.
Yeah.
And then that went okay. The people who liked it, and the people who didn't like it. And the thing is when you start up in Edinburgh, it's really difficult to get an audience if you've got no exposure whatsoever. So I just flyered like anything for about 3 or 4 hours a day on the Royal Mail in Edinburgh, and I got myself a yellow paddling pool, blew that up every day, got as much yellow stuff around me as I could, and then got one of those, what are they called, like the noodle things, you know, for the swimming pool.
Oh, yeah, like the
foam.
Yeah, the foam noodle things.
I got a yellow one of those, cut a slice in the end with a Stanley knife, and then put my flyer in and like fished it out like that, and sat down in my and then people who liked the flyering technique came to the show, and it was a free show anyway, and then you asked for donations at the end, and then from there I did the year after that I did a show all about the sky, then one about faces, then one about water, then one about sleeping, then one about hair. This tour I'm doing at the moment is about talking, then I'm just about to do a show all about time. And the reason I think I wanted to make something that it's called the yellow show or the sky show or the face show or the water show or whatever. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I used to work in advertising, right? And I was a creative. And the main takeaway that I took from advertising was that it's like, keep it simple, stupid. You know what I mean? It's like, it needs to be a simple idea. So I thought, well, I'll do a show, but call it the yellow show, and it can be about yellow. If someone reads that in the brochure, like I put this show, it said Rob Orton, the yellow show. This show is about the colour yellow for people who know of the colour yellow. Like if they like that, then they're going to be, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to work in advertising, and the one thing that I'm kind of most proud about when I worked there, we entered a competition for CBS Outdoor, who do all the outdoor panelings, you know, on the escalators and things like that. And we had, me and my copywriting partner at the time had an idea of, we did a lot of work with Shelter, you know, the homeless charity. And the statistic was 1 in 7 children are stuck in bad housing, and like 1 in 7 children struggling with damp and the causes of asthma and everything like that. So it was the competition was to use the digital escalator panels for the first time. This was in 2007, and I had an idea about like the kids like banging on the panels like that, you know, or like stuck. And we entered it into the competition, and it won. And it was like, oh right, okay. So if it's simple and it's like quite in your face, you don't need to complicate things. And so that's why I've like, that was my main takeaway from that. And then I just like having ideas. Do you know what I mean? And I like exploring things for myself and just trying to. I don't want to talk about temporary things like Donald Trump is temporary, right? Talking and time and the hair and water, and things, it's going to be around for a long time. So I want to do things that I can look back on and think, oh yeah, that's when you explored that. Not how someone's, or, you know, and I don't know how temporary Brexit's going to be, but do you know what I mean? I don't want to muddy my life with that. There's enough people. I mean, that's quite a stupid thing for me to say, but you only get to live once. Mm. And if I focus on this stuff that is, they only tell you what they want you to know anyway.
Yeah.
In the newspapers and on the news. If it was unfiltered and I felt like I was getting the full story, I'd be like, oh, right, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's all just like, it comes at you from this thing, and like, you see all the people getting so irate about it.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm getting irate about this, but it's like, no, come on, we're better than that. Come on. And it's just, I mean, what you were talking about before about, you saying like people crossing the road on a night time, and like, I just want to speak to as many different, just get everyone's different stories and find out. And like, if you get, when people are exposed to people's different stories and their life, just makes it, it's just fantastic. It's just, that's what life's about, right? I did a gig in Bristol the other night, and I was on the same bill was a trans person called Travis Alabanza, who was amazing. And I don't get exposed to that world. And I got such an education. And I was like, wow, this is... And I felt better for it as a person, do you know what I mean? And it's... So it's infuriating when you see these people in like yellow high-vis jackets, and they're trying to take on the yellow high-vis jacket, and you're like, and then you see all the little kids in London when they're on a school trip and they've got the yellow high-vis jackets on, and you're like, and then like you see videos and the yellow high-vis jackets are saying to people, you don't represent that.
Yeah.
That's ours. And it's like, whoa. And I'm not saying, you know, if there's anyone listening to this podcast who is part of the Yellow Harvest community, then, you know, I'm up for having a chat. But it's, I think it's, you know, I think all I'm saying is the more you get exposed to things, is the better.
Yeah, and you, it's interesting what you said about the topics that you pick, because we've said a couple of times on this show that, yeah, you know, political awareness is something that you can choose to have, and some people would like more to absorb more of what's going on. But there's nothing wrong with having a space outside of that to free your mind outside of that. And a lot of people, especially now, like you said, Brexit, you know, the United States, everything that's going on over there, there's a lot of people that get really caught up in that, and it can bring you down.
Yeah.
So conversations outside of that are really refreshing. And for me, like when I consume any entertainment, whether that be like comedy, movie, TV and stuff, I tend to go for stuff that's so far away from that, because I find it so refreshing. It's like, it's like being in a stuffy old room all day and stepping out and getting some fresh air. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, when I was doing my show about hair, there was a reviewer there, and she said, disappointingly politically correct about my show.
Right.
Because there's no dirt in it. It's just about hair.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't really go into religion and things like, well, I was talking about Jesus a bit, but, and I've just, I've got a video on Comedy Central. I did a show, Comedy Central, for Rob Delaney's Stand Up Central, right? 2 minute clip, me basically doing a little tiny bit of each of my shows saying, I really like the sky. Where does the sky start? Does the sky start where the ground stops? What's this bit? I like faces. I like faces so much. I've got one. What is water? Water is the smell of a pint of orange cordial before you've added the cordial. And then, like, I like sleeping. How does everyone feel about sleeping? And I stopped looking at the comments of that because it went, it's got like 4.2 million views now or something.
Yeah.
And I stopped looking because there was a lot of comments on that saying, oh, you're not allowed to say anything nowadays. This is political awareness gone mad. Like, why, like, as if to say to me that I made a conscious choice not to be degrading to anyone else, not to, like, and I was like, no, you can't say that to me just because I don't want to engage with your downbeat it's like, just let me do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what art is all about. And it's like,
yeah, man,
there's protest pieces and things like that, and I try to create awareness in my shows, but it's more all about, like, look, just look at where we are. And it's I just try to remain excited about the world and what's in it, instead of, like, I think, you know, humanity's fantastic, but it's a mixed bag, isn't it? And it's like, I know that there's a lot of people who have had some really, 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 really tough times growing up and things like that. And that can, like, really affect people. And I know that the people who were, someone sent me a message on Facebook saying, what you do is awful. You need to stop. Just stop doing what you're doing, please. It's rubbish. And it was like, okay, but I mean, what has put that person in that situation to make them, or maybe it's just the thrill of being online and feeling like you can go into someone. It's like maybe playing football and giving him a bad tackle on purpose. Do you know what I mean?
Trolling 101, mate. That's what it is, yeah.
But I think maybe it just goes in. Maybe people go in and they like do like 5 or 6 or like 50 or 60 a day.
Yeah.
Squeeze them. And going back to, oh, I mean, I don't want to get any, I come in peace, right?
Just about. We'll get there.
Big time. But I, well, I've lost my train of thought now. I was...
You talk about the 50 or 60 trolls a day, trolling comments a day.
And just the people in the yellow vests who, I saw the videos of them when they were going for Owen Jones.
Yeah.
And they were saying to each other, oh, so today we got Owen Jones and then we got this politician. And I was like, what? You're trying to tick off people who you're getting in the face? Is that what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And fair enough if it is. I mean, I don't know if it's fair enough or not. I just think that it's, there's a lot of angst in the country at the moment. And it's like,
That's why we need comedy, man. That's why we need things to make us chuckle. That's love. Personally, for me, that's why I need people like yourself to talk about things that take me out of it.
Everyone, I think everyone, it's like, just let's sit down and have a chat about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Definitely.
And I don't know what's going to happen with the whole Brexit thing. I do know that I dipped my toe I stopped looking. I can't look at it anymore. It's too much. But if everyone was like me, then the government would just get away with whatever.
Yeah, get away with certain things.
Luckily, there is a section of society who are like, we're interested in this. We're not going to let this happen. And so I don't know why I should have the privilege to be like, okay, you sort that out. I'm just going to think about hair. Like, that's not on, is it? You've got to look at things a little bit and try and. But going back to like thinking, I'm like, just give me the truth. I want the truth. Like John Lennon said, give me some truth.
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm honest with you, the media, the way the media is created, means that you're never going to get the truth. Do you know what I mean? As soon as something gets edited, as soon as something gets, you know, remixed or words get moved around on a page, it's not the true story. It's just the way it is. I've had this conversation the other day. They were like, I prefer live content over edited stuff because, you know, da, da, da. And I was saying to them, nothing's ever really live. You're never ever getting anything, you know, live and direct, or you're never getting the full source, or you get people that go, oh, I've done my research on the internet. You just got a collated selection of people's kind of angles at things.
Yeah.
You're never going to get the whole idea, but you know, you have to do what you can to kind of stay aware of things. Anyway, to the new show. So you said you've done The Colour Yellow. By the way, I've seen your song about that as well. Did you perform that in the show as well, the Yellow song? Because I thought that was great. The greatest fruit is a grapefruit. I think I'm going to take that.
Grapefruit
is a grapefruit.
Is a grapefruit. Why is a grapefruit called the grapefruit? There's already a fruit called a grape.
And it doesn't look anything like a grape.
No, it doesn't. I don't. It's a stretch to call it a song, by the way. it's like a chant about. When I was doing the show, I said it was my like mantra to the colour yellow. But yeah. I'm a big fan of SpongeBob SquarePants, and it was a good influence on the show, I think.
Oh, good stuff. Good geezer. And the new tour that's coming up, Time and Talking, shall we say?
I'm doing a show about talking, yeah, called The Talk Show. And that is just a celebration of talking, really. I did it up at the Edinburgh Festival this year. And
so what can we expect from that? Yeah, like what can you expect
from it? You can expect
talking.
Me talking into a microphone, talking to the audience at the start quite a lot. I'm doing it at Soho Theatre for 5 nights.
Wicked. When's that?
May.
Cool.
And then I'm doing a nationwide tour of it. And I mean, it's a lot of some things about. I just love, like, when I zone in on a topic, it. So now I'm thinking about time because my new shows are going to be about time. It's like, there's like a specific bell that goes off in my head when I'm like, all right, time show. And then you hear people talking about the time and what it just comes up so much. And then, but the thing is it's such a big subject that I have to remind myself, like, I'm like coming here today, like, okay, right. If I get there at 11:45, then that'll give me a time enough to have a cup of tea. And I need to be like, right, come on. No, you need to think about that. But it's so ingrained in me. But the talk show, I just love overhearing people, things like that. Like, I was on the train coming from London to York, and I overheard an elderly lady, she was on the phone, and she was like, oh, Linda, it was so busy in Madame Tussauds, you couldn't move. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know. I love that. Do you know what I mean? I just... And then...
Really? Really, you couldn't move? It was that full? Really? Right, really? Yeah,
but,
okay.
And then, you know, I was in the supermarket. I overheard two guys talking about what meat they were going to have for a roast, right? And one said to the other, no, she won't eat pork because it's got religion in it. And stuff like that just gets me through the day, you know?
Yeah, I love bits like that. I think... I went to bingo once for my sins.
Oh, yeah.
With my grandma. And this isn't really conversation, but I remember so vividly, I was like 13, 14 years old. And I just remember 6 and 9, 69. And an old man on the other side of the table just going. Brilliant. So, yeah, you got to love little nuances of conversation, man.
Yeah, man. What was that like? What was bingo like?
You know, I fucking enjoyed it, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's not like thrilling. It's not like, you're not like, but when you got that, almost got a line, you're like, fucking hell, I might win something. Might win a quid here or, you know.
Was it
a
Mecca?
Pack of sweets. Oh, no, it was like local bingo. It was like local village bingo.
Yeah,
I'd
like to tap into that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's not like that nutty, like there is proper funky bingo out there where there's like lights and sound systems and stuff like that. Maybe I'll try that.
What, has it almost got like a darts vibe about it?
Yeah, there's like proper I'd call it like extreme bingo. There's like, you know, an MC who's like whipping off his clothes and stuff like that. You got freaking klaxons, pies in faces, drinks. Imagine like somebody trying to, imagine if like Ibiza, no, not Ibiza. Imagine like Malia.
Right.
Made love to bingo.
Okay. What is Malia like? Ibiza like a step up?
Step down.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. I'll put Ibiza up there. Malia like teenagers going crazy, drinking loads of drinks, going nuts, raving.
Mm.
Combine that with bingo, and then you've got like this new kind of ultra bingo that's out there. That might be the name of it, actually. Ultra bingo. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So you're not a London lad. Whereabouts are you from?
Just outside York originally. A place called... well, I was born in York, and then I grew up in a place called Pocklington. Got a good art centre. Yeah, that's near the Yorkshire Wolds. You might have seen, David Hockney did loads of pictures of the rolling hills and stuff like that. That's all there, mm-hmm. from there. And then went to uni and did... first thing I realised I liked at school was art. And so I love painting and drawing. Then I did an art foundation course. Then I went to university in Newcastle and did a... it was like a... Well, it was graphic design degree. And then was like... realised I liked having ideas. And then wanted to try and get into a job where you have ideas. And I was like, oh, advertising. You know, when you see a good advert on television, it can really cheer me up. And I think, you know, they're pretty rare... I mean, even when I started doing it in 2005, there was a lot more good adverts on television than there is now. And I was like, oh, I'd love to try and get into that. And eventually got into it. And then advertising is pretty much the perfect job for someone who considers themselves to be a creative person, I think, but it is a business. And I really struggled with trying just like... My ideas weren't, you know, I was doing ads for like House of Fraser Sale and like doing cartoons of like worms talking to each other. And they were like, look, this isn't going to work. They just want a picture of a model in a dress. So I was like, okay. But what happened was I started, it was quite constricting. So I started keeping these notebooks. So when I'd have like a bad, you'd work on a thing for a couple of days, then go for a crit, and you'd have to talk about your ideas, and a lot of the time they were just like no. So I would keep these notebooks and take my frustration out on them. And the thing with that, when you've got a blank page and a pen, you can just go into it and just be like, and I started writing down my first ideas for things. Like, I remember I'd had an idea, I was like and I didn't really know what it was. But I just started writing down little short stories and like ideas for poems and stuff. So I'd add one, if it would be like, if I had a pen for a penis, I'd write all over your face. You know,
that's a good chat up line, that.
Yeah, it's a good chat up line, isn't it? Yeah. And I'd use your spots as punctuation. Not one blemish would I waste. If it was okay with you, I'd fill your mouth with ink and use it as a quill. So when we go out to restaurants, I could indecently sign the bill. Right? And there was that. So things like that. Or like, if I have a son, his name will be Dad after my dad and his dad and his dad. And then I just started filling up these notebooks, and then one day the creative director said, I'm having a fireworks party and there's going to be a bit of poetry. And I was like, oh, well, I've been writing this stuff down in my books. Do you think I could stand up and have a go? And he's like, yeah. So I didn't know if I still don't know whether it's poetry or not. I think some of it can be quite poetic sometimes. I was like, yeah, so I stood up on his fireworks party wall, read some things out, and went all right. Some went okay, some were like, eh. Then they said, oh, we run a poetry night called Bang Said the Gun. Do you want to come and join that? So I started doing it on a monthly basis. And then, so the first proper gig I ever did, I was like, I was so nervous for... definitely the full day leading up to it, but also before. And then I couldn't eat or drink that whole first day, and then I did the gig and loved it. And then second gig I ever did, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna love this. And I absolutely died on my ass. And I was like, and that was such a good lesson, really, because it happened to me when I was doing my I had my first driving lesson as well. Like, So the driving instructor took me to an airfield and he was like, okay, Rob, come on then, get behind the wheel. And I was like, what, really now? And he said, yeah, yeah. So this is your accelerator, this is your clutch, this is your brake. And then I was driving around and he said, okay, let's get on the road. And I was like, whoa, you sure? And he was like, yeah, yeah, don't worry, we've got dual control. So, and I drove home and I was like, whoa, I can't believe that I've just been chucked in the deep end like that. Oh, this is great. And then the next driving lesson, pulled out of the small driveway at my parents' house and just put my foot on the accelerator, didn't look if anything was coming, and a van came. Shit. And he had to slam all the brakes on. And I was like, ah, right, you've got to never get ahead of yourself. Never, ever get overconfident with anything. Just keep yourself in check. Don't get carried away and just focus. And so that's what I try to do with gigs now. Every single gig, it's like, right, you don't know how wrong this could go. So, you know, it might go very well as well, but just keep that in your mind that you could get absolutely shafted.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, a lot of comedians say that until you died, you know, they feel like they had so much. Well, no, not until you died, but they say they felt like they haven't learned as much as when they've died in front of an audience. We've had a couple of comedians on the show and they've said that dying is probably one of the best things that's happened to them because they're like, you know what, it's not that bad.
No, yeah, exactly.
It's happened now. Like, now you can say, what's the worst that can happen, right?
Mm, yeah, totally. It's like anything in life, though, isn't it? Like tough experiences, if you get through them, then you're like, right. But because what I do is I put it in the brochure in the comedy section, but it's not all funny, you know. My management is a comedy manager, so I get to do a lot of comedy gigs, and when they go well, they go really well, but when they go well, they go okay. But when when they go badly, they go badly.
Yeah.
You know? Because sometimes people just don't know. If you need a couple of ringleaders in the room to be like, oh, this is meant to be funny, everyone.
Yeah.
This is meant to be funny. Whereas sometimes they're just like, what? From like water, the opposite of pastry, soup for people who don't like ingredients. They're just like, what were we meant to do with this? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh damn, I thought this was funny. Do you know what I mean? But you've got to stitch your guns because I start trying to, thinking about time, I'm just like, I've got to stick to what I think is funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you try to guess what people are thinking, like, you're screwed, there's no point. And as well, you only live once, you may as well try and be true to yourself.
Exactly. So you think about time a lot. Like, what have you noticed about time now that you started thinking about it so much? It's a very interesting subject.
Well, it is, isn't it?
You can get lost in it, literally.
You get lost in time, yeah. But I don't know. I was just been thinking about the olden times quite a lot, and like, if I could go back and invent something for the first time, like, what would I invent? And like, talk to them about computers and things, and they'd be like, "So what's that?" I'm like, "Well, you know, metal," and they'd be like, "No, what's metal? You know, I'm talking about cave time. Like, what's metal?" I'd be like, "Well, what? How about we dig a bit and we'll try and find some?" And they're like, "Well," I'm like, "Have you got a spade?" And like, "No." Okay, well, I guess we're going to use our hands then. And just like, how time has just gone like that. And then suddenly we're here and like, we're this.
Yeah.
And it's just, I like thinking about things like that. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm pretty in the early stages. I've got a preview in Margate in March when I've got to do it for an hour. So I'm in the very early, but it's just, I just think, you know, and like time, I've got like 24 hours in a day. But only because we say it is.
Yeah.
And people say we need more hours in a day. Well, why don't we put more in?
Why don't we just chuck a few extra hours?
Just put some more in, and then, like, what? Are we scared?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Why don't we have a 48-hour day? Fuck
but
it.
But it'd take a long time to catch on. I've been on holiday to Madrid for 3 days.
Yeah.
And went on a walking tour, and it was really, really interesting. And I'm not going to be able to do it as well as someone I know, but there's a fact about Spanish time. Do you know why they're an hour ahead?
No, I don't know why.
Well, like, Portugal have got the same time zone as us, right?
All right.
And Spain should really have the same time zone as us, but the reason is because when Franco was in charge, and there'd just been the Spanish Civil War, the history, if you've got some historians listening to this podcast, they're probably like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you need to stop talking now." But I'll just try and give what I took away from the walking tour, right? And so Franco was in charge, and they'd just been the Spanish Civil War, so their country was like, they got enough war, so they didn't get involved in the Second World War, they were neutral. But to show their affiliation to Italy, I think, they changed the time to have the same time as them.
Just said, fuck it, it's not 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock. Just like that.
Yeah, so I'd be like, we're not taking sides, but we're going to be, you know. I mean, so it just showed, like, all these things that we think are so, like, oh no, this is definitely how it is. Yeah. Like, last year as well, weren't they talking about that was going to be the last time that they were going to change the clocks?
Yeah, daylight savings is there's massive studies to go with arguments for and against it. So there are people that go out there and then they measure how many domestic accidents there are, how many accidents there are with vehicles, suicide rates, depression, everything. They've people that are like so for daylight savings, and people that are so against it. It's something that, we might see the end of it eventually, but it will be a big deal, a real big deal when it happens.
It will, but I couldn't believe it. When they were saying, oh yeah, we might just stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing with it, is something that's as easy as Brexit. If they were like, yeah, you know, we had this vote and well, we know what the outcome was, but we're just gonna do it again because, you know, like, if there's a race and the winner wins and then you find out that they've been taking illegal substances.
Yep.
Well, for me, that thing on the side of the bus, 300 million to the NHS, is an illegal substance.
Yep.
And so I'm like, well, we all know that that's not real now. So if the people, I don't want to get into it too much, but I was like, oh, I just wish I could articulate it a bit more. But anyway,
it's a bit like when you watch a boxing match and it's really close. You got to see the rematch, don't you? I think that's the kind of, you want the rematch and then you want the true champion to win.
I will say, actually, anyone who's listening to this thinking, oh God, this guy who's like, thinks he knows about, I'm not saying I know about Brexit. I'm not saying I have any opinions. I'm just saying that if we all sat down and had a chat, I know we can't do that, but
Wait, the conversation starts here, though. Do you know what I mean, Rob?
Yeah.
Starts with one-on-one combos.
It's got to start somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah. Most definitely, man. But you're a super creative person. Like you've mentioned, obviously, you know, your art degree, you know, the chanting, or I like to call it songs and stuff.
Yeah.
How important is it to you that you continue to, as well as comedy, you still do your art and write books? You got a few books out, haven't you?
Yeah. I've written... I got three books for sale. The first one's called In Heaven, the Onions Make You Laugh. The other one's called Petrol Honey. It's called Petrol Honey because I used to live opposite a Tesco's that had a petrol station on it. And every time I'd go in, I'd like buy some bread or whatever. And then she always asked people if she's got if you got petrol. And she'd say, Petrol Honey, like that, like Petrol Honey. And I thought, oh, that's a good name for a book. Like, you need the petrol to make the honey. You need some energy to get something out of it. And then my third book was called Take Hair.
Yes.
H-A-I-R. And what was the question? How important is it that I...
Just keep being creative on all these areas.
Well, it is important for me because I do get... If I don't do it, I start to get a bit angsty with myself because it's the path that I've decided to take of when I worked in advertising, stopped working in advertising and then got a job in an art shop. Cass Art on Berwick Street, they've got things all around the country now, and I was a stockroom assistant, and I would do gigs on a night and work in the shop during the day, and I was just like, right, I'm going to commit to doing these gigs on a night time, and I needed some time off to do a festival, Latitude, and they said, no, you can't have it. So I was like, well, seems like it's come to breaking point now, and just was like, right, I'm going to just do this. And that was 2012. I've been doing it full time ever since. But so when I feel myself getting lazy or not as engaged with my own decision as I should be, like, it's almost like committing to a, maybe it's how people feel when they commit to a religion, like if you don't go and pray, or like maybe you beat yourself up if you're not being as true to your faith as you should be. That's maybe how I feel about creativity. And I'm just like, come on, you've got to be in this, and you've got to try your best because you've decided to dedicate your life to it.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want to do. So if I find myself lying on my bed, and I mean, I get really, really, really sad a lot of the time, not a lot of the time, but I think, you know, if you think about things too much, it can get you into some serious holes, and you've got to be like, okay, maybe I'll just go out for, and I think I need to take myself for a walk. And, yeah, I don't know if I suffer from depression. I know a lot of people have it, but I think maybe I'm just quite sensitive to what's going to, you know, the fact that you're born and then you die. It's like everything's kind of off the table.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, all right, I'm going to definitely try my best then. And then, I don't know, sometimes when people die, and I remember when Trigger from Only Fools and Horses died, it just took me. Sometimes when people die, and it can get into you in a certain angle, and you're like, whoa, woof. And I'm like, oh, man. And then, like my last Christmas, my granny died, and I was there on her deathbed, and Christmas Day, and seeing her there, it was like, come on, you've really got to just try and make the most of.
That's you fucking right.
But just so you know, when I leave here now, I'll go home and get my notepad out and just have a go. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's the same with anything. It's like, and that's when I see so much turmoil around, I'm like, God, we've got to do better than this. We've got to try, and I know everyone's trying, and a lot of people find it very difficult, but we've been given such a fantastic gift, and, you know, that's why I kick off on one about trees all the time, and the sky, and feeling the sun on your face, and finding someone that you like, and you're like, oh wow, maybe if we can be together, this might be good. And you're like, it's like all the clutter. It's like, let's get rid of that and just be like, I know it's like an unrealistic vision, and that's not really what the world's like. And it's like, oh come on, Rob, no, that's not what the world's like, mate. You need to get a grip. Guns exist. I'm like, well, what? Why? I'm going to die living in a world where there's been an AK-47 and a piano at the same time. It's like, I'm not up for it. I'm like, melt all those down for a start, and then maybe we can talk. It's like, what is it? I don't. It makes me. And then when people say that we were made, someone designed our hands, and like we're not, we haven't come from these like wild animals. I'm like, are you joking? We're still wild as anything. That's why people are smacking each other in the face. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to get to grips with it, come to terms with being alive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm going to try my best before I die. And it's like, well, I don't think I can do it. So I'll just focus on this creativity thing. And I want to, in the shows, I want to try and make people feel empowered to, when they leave the room, that they can be like, yeah, I'm going to have a go.
Yeah.
And if I've got to like value my stage time so much just to like use it for good and not slag people off and not have a gut like punch down or punch up. No, I don't want to punch at all. I just want to say my piece. And like if you stand on stage and you don't deliver a positive message, then it's like, nah.
Well, it's funny, like you said that, well, it's not funny, but it's interesting that you said that you want to, you know, have a positive impact on the world. And by being creative and just being who you are, you've managed to do that. Do you know what I mean? So like with your shows, like you said, like you are touching a lot of people. You're spreading laughs. You're spreading joy. Well, yeah, you get a couple of trolls here and there, whatever. But it's interesting that by following your passion, you are doing that. Do you know what I mean? You're actually achieving that.
Well, I don't know. I hope so, on a very, very minimal scale. But I think there's value in that. I think if you do a show and someone comes up to you after and they say thanks for that, and like I remember someone when I was doing the free shows, and I'm still doing, well, I'm doing pay what you want now, but
nice.
You can, someone put a note in my bucket and it said your shows have really helped me. Thanks very much, and things like that. It's just, if I ever lose track of that, then that is game over for me, because all I want to do is, it's like this, we're people, and when it's just, it's got to be about trying to connect, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's what we're all about here, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're all about here. That's our ethos, isn't it, Bill?
And just because that's, you know, it's like when you go to, like, the best thing I did at Christmas, when, you know, all my, the pressure of Christmas and things like that, and presents and stuff like that, and people saying, oh, can you get me this? I'm like, well, I wish I'd listened to you more and we'd spoken more over the year, because then I could have put more thought into the present that I got you. And what happens is it makes me realise that I'm maybe not putting enough effort into the relationships I've got with people, because I don't know. I haven't thought about something nice that I could get them from a conversation that we've had. And but the best thing was, you know, me and my mum and dad on Christmas Eve, on the morning, went for a walk in the Yorkshire Wolds. And it was like, you know, we spoke, and it was, that was what Christmas was for me. And like, it was free, and, it, you know, it's like, it's a, with the clutter of, I've said clutter before, but it's just like all this kind of mess that, and it's like, it's like polluting everything. And you know, like when you're at a festival, say like, and you might have a chat with someone in like Glastonbury, maybe at the Greenfields or something, like a stranger, and you're like, oh wow, I'm so pleased that we had a chat there. And when I, do sometimes speak. I remember I was doing a project at university, and it was a photography project, and I was speaking to a guy who was selling a big issue, and I asked him if I could take some portraits of him, and was speaking to him for ages, and then every time I walked down that street, we'd have a chat, and I don't know, it's like just trying to, I guess I just want to try to be as human as I possibly can. What does that mean? I don't even know, but that's the truth. I'm like, when it gets down to it, and you're like, yeah, I think it's all just to try to do with coming to terms with it. And when I was in Madrid, I saw Guernica, you know, the painting by Picasso. And that just, I was like, wow, look what he's done with his creativity. He's absolutely smashed it. And I don't know. I mean, you've got to aim high, haven't you? So if I was like, I'd like to do something as good as that one day.
Oh, well, that's a nice target to do a bit of Picasso level work. That's well, great. No, yeah. That'd be awesome, mate.
Do I sound like an arrogant prick?
No. But you know, it'd be worse if you were like, yeah, hopefully one day I can get a bit of art that's like, you know.
No, I'm not talking about a painting. I'm talking about like the impact.
Yeah, a bit of impact. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Of that.
Yeah.
It's got serious worth to it.
Of course. Yeah.
And it's like,
why should you have any sort of target that's lower than that, though? Why not?
Well, why would If you don't have a goal, it's very difficult to score.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Yeah, can't score if you don't shoot.
Yeah.
Actually, another thing that you do is, I do want to touch on this as well, is your spoken word. We had Pip on the show a few episodes back.
Yeah. It's all the same thing, though, that, like, the spoken word of, it's spoken word of comedy. And,
Yeah,
no, Scroobius Pip, amazing. He's been such a brilliant flag flyer for me.
Yeah, how did that happen? How did you guys get together?
Excuse me. I'd been a big fan of his, and then I helped run a night called Bang Said the Gun, and we did it last night at Soho Theatre, and he came along and did that, and then we, what happened? I think on the back of him seeing my set there, he asked me to do his gig at Bestival that they used to do in the amphitheatre outside, and just loved it. That was one of the biggest gigs I'd ever done. And he gave me some gigs there, and then he said, do you want to do a spoken word CD that is available on speechdevelopmentrecords.com? And he's just been, I remember seeing him at Latitude, I think, and I couldn't get in the tent, and I could just see, like, under the tent and see his feet, absolutely rammed tent. But I mean, he's a fantastic person to look up to with regards to focus and determination. Yeah, brilliant.
Awesome. And the spoken word comedy that you've got, the album that you've got on Speech Development, do you want to talk us through the kind of stuff that we got on there that we can expect?
I'll do some if you want. I've got the box.
Oh, that'd be wicked. Now you let us know.
Well, basically, the stuff on those albums are just my, the favourite things that I'd done up to that point in time. So one of the ones on it would be, well, there's longer ones and short ones, like one about remember, the word remember, like remember could have been a good name for a month, the month of remember. But anyway, hit and miss, isn't it?
I like that.
But I got one about heaven, right? You know, there's a rumour going around that there's a heaven, and I don't know if there is or not, but I wrote this, and I was like, if there is a heaven, then what would the food be like? You'd have thought the food would be quite nice, right? Say if you died and then you found yourself in heaven tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you going to have?
It's probably got to be a combination of all my favourite foods. Probably something mum does.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's got to be one of my mum's dishes. Do you know what I mean? Probably something really, like, simple. Like, you know, I think my mum just makes, like, a good pasta. She makes loads of stuff. But I think going over to my mum's, if she's got, like, a pasta bake on the go or something, I don't know what it is. Something about that.
Yeah.
Loads of carbs, bit of cheese on the top.
Yeah.
Lovely. You know, a lot of people say, oh, steak and prawns, whatever, cool. that's lovely food, but a bit of my mum's cooking.
Yeah, yeah. But then, so you'd have that, but then, like, I don't know what it would be. And then what would you have the next step? Because you wouldn't want that every day, would you? And then it's like, where do you go?
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's the food like in heaven? If all well-behaved living things that die go to heaven, can there be meat up there? Do people imagine eating nice bits of meat in heaven? You know, the bits with a tiny bit of burnt on the cliff face of fat, sitting at a solid square-legged without wobble table, eating a steak with a smooth, heavy, shining fork and a deep, dark brown wooden-handled steak knife. Has the cow that the steak came from died and gone to heaven only to be killed again? Do they kill dead cows up there so we can eat meat and really be in total heaven? What about the sandwiches? Are there crumbs in heaven? Can you get Lurpak? Is it complimentary? Do you still have to peel oranges? Do apples have cores or are they all apple? Can you eat right through an apple from one side to the other? Can you eat an apple until it is gone? Where do apples go when they die? Do baked beans come in tins or do they float into your open mouth in a kind of horizontal unfastened necklace line of warm non-drip perfectly cut baked beans? Where do I go to get my food when I arrive? I will probably need to do a big shop or will all my cupboards be full? Will I have cupboards? And if I do, who will have put them up for me? Does God put the cupboards up in heaven, or is it people who are in heaven when they're putting cupboards up? All the chickens will be running around laughing and kissing instead of lying dead and refrigerated in the supermarkets. Do people kill dead chickens in heaven? Maybe the chickens kill themselves for us and then roll around in flour and then egg and milk, and then breadcrumbs, and then repeat the process depending on how crispy they want to make themselves for us. Maybe the chickens get to go up to the next level of heaven, the heaven of heaven, the penthouse suites of heaven. If you have a fly in your kitchen in heaven and you want to get rid of it, what do? You have both been accepted into the kingdom of heaven. So that's that. And then I've got other ones as well, such yeah, as...
That's from Petrol Honey, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Petrol Honey. But they've got drawings in as well, these books. Yeah. Like,
oh, well, I mean, we've got a camera as well, so it'd be great if you could.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, point.
All right. Well, like, I'm quite an up and down kind of person. So, like, one day I'm sad like an EastEnders funeral on Christmas Day. I'm happy like Salvador Dali with a pen shoved down the end of his penis. I'm sad like an ice sculpture of Morrissey praying for the sun to come out. I'm happy like a mathematician eating his dinner off a number plate. I'm sad like a dog called cat. Where there's a will, there's a dead person. People really listen to their pillows. I used to be a bit more upbeat than this. I used to think CCTV was a very, very positive Spanish television channel. You got that there. But yeah, all that kind of thing.
That's wicked. That's awesome, man. Thank you very much for coming on How to Kill It Now, man.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate
that. I hope it was all right.
Yeah, it was decent, man. And just for our audience listening, can we just talk about your upcoming dates as well so we can just let them know where you're going to be, where we can find you doing your new material?
Yeah, totally. I'm going to be doing my show about time at the Albany in Deptford.
Right.
That's not till June actually, but my upcoming tour is about talking called the talk show, and that's a nationwide tour. All my details are on roborton.co.uk, on the where and when page there, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram and everything like that, and at Robert Orton on Twitter and at Rob Orton on Instagram.
Thank you very much. You've really got me thinking about time, like all of the little things that we say, like I'll make time for that. We can't make time, can we?
No, downtime.
Downtime, out of time. Never really out of time unless you're... No. And then there's still time going. Anyway, right, we won't get stuck into that. Thank you very much for joining us on How to Kill an Hour, Rob Orton. I've been Marcus Bronzy. Producer Billy has managed to not give us any negative comments today. Thank you very much for that, Bill. Appreciate that. You're just going to say nothing now? All right, yeah, that's it. He's in a mood. Right, make sure you press subscribe and also hit us with a comment as well. Share the love via all of the channels, social media, at How to Kill an Hour everywhere. Have a great time. Stay blessed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.